We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Second hour of the National Intel Report. Let's go back to the phones with my guest, Lewis Ewing. We are talking about traffic, the power of the police, policy versus law. And I wanted to ask you one question before I forget this. On these civil infractions, in your state, for a misdemeanor, is that a jailable offense?
Misdemeanor is jailable. It's what they call a petty offense. They can be jailed up to 6 months. And they can give you what they call a jury trial of six. It's also called a chains jury. In the old days in the common law, the captain had a dispute on board the ship. He pulled into the harbor. He tied up the harbor, and he literally went on land and dragged six citizens in chains aboard his ship to conduct what they call a chain jury. And in these municipal and district courts, the courts of limited jurisdiction, courts not of record, there's no transcriber, the jury trial is advisory. That means the judge can say, the jury's decision's wrong, I'm overruling it, and I'm finding you guilty anyway. I highly recommend people do not go at the jury trial. It's completely different than a trial by jury where you get 12. And the jury can hear the facts and the law. In a jury trial of six, a chain jury, an advisory jury, they only get to hear the facts. They do not get to hear the law. But if you, in a superior court, in a court of record for like a felony crime, an infamous crime, you can demand a trial by jury. And if you put in the motion citing the proper court rule, they will get to hear the facts and the law.
In some cases, I have witnessed federal cases where you try to bring evidence into court and the judge will flat out not allow it. And for my money, if I'm going to go out and grab 6 or 12 people and put them in chains, well, basically that's what happens to jurors. They're a lot of times sequestered. I'm going to do whatever I feel that I have to do to get out of that situation as fast as I can. So if that's not making the judge angry and going along with him and pleasing the prosecutor, forget about the defendant. Forget about the facts of the case. Forget about the intent of the law. Let's just sanitize it, make it real easy, and save the taxpayers a lot of money. Guilty.
Well yes, but I've perfected a way to get things into evidence over the prosecutor's objection and over the judge's objection. I know how to screw the judges. And you can do that by combining rules of evidence. For example, if I want to get a document in, like a copy of a specific statute or a constitution, there is a way of getting those things into evidence, and it's required to be put into the evidence file. In the court, there's two things. There's a court file where they put motions where they can deny all day long, and then you have to appeal the issue, and then there's another file called the evidence file. If you get what you want into evidence, you make the record. And that's what judges try to keep everybody, the patriots, from doing. They don't want you to make the record. And so here's what I do. If I want to get the Constitution, for example, right now the Constitutions in every single state statute books are fake Constitutions. The patriots are wrong when they say the judges are violating their Constitution. They're violating their oaths. They're violating the law. They do what they want to do. Well, guess what? They're not violating any law because the Constitution in your state statute book is not the real Constitution for your state. It is not the law. If you follow Ralph Winterroth's story a little bit about the Reconstruction Act, so look up that word, reconstruct. They're putting back together something that was destroyed. The old Union, the 13 states, the several states. The tax protester saying, I live in the several states, I don't live in a federal area, is absolutely wrong. State of Texas that you live in is a federal municipal corporation, a United States corporation. It has a federal tax ID number. If you work for Burger King, Shucks Auto Supply, Safeway, you do not work for the private sector. You are a federal employee. Burger King, McDonald's, Shucks, they went to the state of Texas, state of Washington, state of California, and asked for a master business license. The state gave them one, and they issued them a federal tax ID number. So when you go fill out an employment application to work for any of those quasi-federal entities, they actually put your Social Security number on that employee application.
Okay, that's the music, that's the bump, which tells me we got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Heart disease continues to be the leading cause of death in America. Why? Haven't people heard about the positive effects of Cartavite? Cartavite drops and capsules were designed to improve your cardiovascular health and circulatory well-being. The all-natural ingredients in Cartavite begin immediately working to increase metabolism in your heart muscle tissue, mitigating heart rhythm abnormalities, and improving oxygen and blood flow in the heart. Right now, as a special for RBN listeners, you'll get a four-month supply for only $99 plus shipping, a 30% savings off the regular price. This offer is only for a limited time, so call now, 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite drops and capsules may help improve your circulation and cardiovascular health, but that's up to you. Take the first step with Cartavite. Call toll-free, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com for more information. Don't let heart disease beat you. Beat the odds and do your body right with Cartavite.
In America, we value our liberty. But there's a new movement quietly being pursued by politicians that will take away our precious freedoms. It's been deceptively named the Free Trade Area of the Americas, or FTAA. Proponents claim that their objective is to promote trade by removing barriers between the countries of North and South America. In reality, the FTAA is a raw power grab. It will lead to a new government over the entire Western Hemisphere. This super government will steadily take away America's rights, our Constitution, even the freedoms that we love so dearly. Protect your freedoms. Go to stoptheftaa.org. Then let Congress know that the FTAA is not an option for America. Stoptheftaa.org. And keep America free.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stachmiller.
Want to join us on air? Come on, folks. I know you have some questions about traffic, and we've got, do you have an aversion of being called an expert? How long have you been doing this, Lewis?
10 to 12 years.
Okay, I'd probably put you in the category of being an expert.
Desi
told me that she said this guy is an informational sponge. He'll get a hold of a court case. He'll get all the records. He'll get the, everything that has to do with a court case, and will read it and absorb it and understand it. So I guess that would put you at some classification of being an expert. The mainstream news media do it all the time. They bring up their experts, and they never explain to people why they're experts, or what success they've had in their field, or if their advice or what they're saying is worth a hoot. The proof is in the pudding. If what they're doing works, rather than just offering an opinion or opining, as Mr. Bill O'Reilly says, I want the facts, ma'am. Just give me the facts. Back to the phones, Garen in Rhode Island. Hello, Garen.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, I have another question, but your guest brought up the chain juries. Now, does the Seventh Amendment apply to that? That would state, a trial by jury in any case of common law above $20?
Well, like I said, all the real constitutions, which is the law of the land in every single state, have been suspended and placed into the archives division of your Secretary of State's office. They've been replaced with what I call corporate charter constitutions. They have made them a mere statute. A lot of times in the court, like in an IRS proceeding, the judge brings forth a constitutional argument. The judge will say, "Well, I'll protect your annotated constitutional rights." And since they've made the Constitution's a statute, you now hear a new rule of law in courts. Well, I'm denying your motion based on the statute because the court rule supersedes the statute. Okay, the court rules are promulgated by the Supreme Courts in every single state. So you really want to find the current case law, and it's not law, it's just that's a popular name to give a judge's decision. A judge's decision isn't law. It's just a published opinion declaring how they interpreted a particular statute to be and what it means.
That's pretty interesting. Now, my original question was, now, if a cop pulls you over and tells you that, I pulled you over because you have a headlight out, does that person have a right to get out of their car and inspect their own vehicle? Would you know,
How do you mean that, inspect your own vehicle? You have an absolute
right to look at your vehicle anytime you want to, but I would ask the police, the officer, do you mind if I step out of my car and look at that? Because if you just jump out on your own, the cops are trigger happy. You notice they're trained at the police academy to come to the car with their hand on their holster. And they don't have to pull it out of the holster. They have the quick release kind of thing that if they just push the gun forward, it unsnaps automatically, like a quick draw artist. I wouldn't just jump out of your car unless you do it right when you're stopped. And that's something I do also. I pull on the private property. I turn my car off. I throw the keys under the seat, turn off the ignition, and I open the door, hit the lock function, I jump out. The cops usually getting on the bullhorn. Get back in your car. Get back in your car. Well, I don't want you to search my car, so if you want to search it for weapons, but although I know you're fishing for my marijuana joints, you're going to have to go get a warrant. You have marijuana joints? I said, well, I might. I can't remember if I smoked them all or if I left them in there.
Oh, gosh.
I like teasing the cops.
Oh, boy. Well, I maybe you can get away with that because you know your curriculum real well. I mean, we like to, as a matter of course in this country, thumb our nose at authority because we inherently were suspicious of authority. But for people that are just breaking into this, I don't suggest you take that tact. Anything else, Garrett?
No, that's it. Thanks.
Okay, you're welcome, sir. Richard in Alabama. Hello, Richard.
Hi. I want to get your ideas on what to do when the judge tries to replace the original charge with incompetence or mental illness in order to just get rid of the original issue and move
on. Good question.
Something
in other words,
you want to amend the charge, is what you're saying?
Well, he just, anytime you're in court, the judge can say, well, I think you're incompetent. I think you ought to accept an attorney and you don't want one, so I think you're incompetent or else you're mentally ill and I want you examined. So I'm going to order that you be sent away for an examination. And they can examine you, I believe, for 90 days.
Well, this is what happens when you get patriot types in court that refuse to follow rules, and they start raising their voice and screaming at the judge and calling them names, and they bring forth ridiculous arguments that they learned from some patriot guru who's never won a case. And be careful out there, because there are these seminar gurus in the patriot movement that are running around from state to state teaching bogus theories, like filing a commercial lien against the judge or expatriating your so-called citizenship and going back to the Republic and becoming a sovereign American citizen and doing a UCC filing on your straw man, all capital letter name. These things are bogus arguments that have never won in court, and there's no proof that any of these kind of arguments in any case, in any state, appellate, Supreme Court, federal, or U.S. Supreme Court decision to back the people making commercial liens or expatriation kind of arguments.
Well, and I know what this gentleman is speaking about.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying, what about what they're trying to do with Jim Trafficante? And I've been in prison for nothing but incompetence.
Well, under Ferretta,
they don't need an extra charge. They don't need a crime. You don't need send you away.
Well, let me clarify this a little bit. Every state constitution says you have an absolute right to defend yourself in person, and there's a decision called Ferretta, which basically says you have the right to defend yourself. This is why the judges make such a big deal about you getting a waive your rights to counsel. In fact, the case law says you even have a right to be an absolute fool if you so so choose to desire to defend yourself. But when you're found guilty, you're going to go to jail. But if you keep making ridiculous arguments over and over again and don't shut up when the judge tells you to, yeah, they do have the discretion to send you off for a psych evaluation.
So I'm really doomed. If they want to go that far, there's all the legal arguments about the codes.
If you repeatedly present bogus arguments that have been consistently denied by the courts, then yes.
Everybody calm down here. Hold on a second.
Right.
Lewis, that's a big blanket statement. This man's asking you a specific question, and I have witnessed this myself.
I've seen it happen.
Okay, so, you know, it doesn't even have to be a bogus. I don't want to leave people with the impression it has to be a bogus argument. If you're not laying down for that jurisdiction in that court or you're not kowtowing to that judge, he will threaten and he will throw you into a medical facility for medical evaluation because you got to be crazy for standing up to that judge. You got to be some kind of mental defective. I've seen it happen. And I think, Richard, that's what you're alluding to, correct?
Yes, that's my experience, and that's what they're about to do to Jim Traficant.
He's crazy. He must be crazy.
Uh-huh.
So, therefore, we'll remove him from the court. What about the guy that was to be brought down to Waco? He was a dentist, and he was there for forensic evidence. Well, he got a little bit too lippy, and he wasn't going along with the plan. That man ended up in a mental institution and, as far as I know, is still being injected with drugs.
Charles Sell?
That's right.
And that's been heard by the U.S. Supreme Court. They wouldn't help him.
That's exactly right.
Wow.
So yeah. What ideas do you have, Lewis?
I'm sure there's a few isolated cases.
No, Lewis, I don't want to leave you with the impression that these are isolated cases. This is going on all the time across America, and it is happening more and more. If you're standing up, first you're either anti-government or you must be crazy. In either case, you're a threat to society, and I will remove you from society. You've committed no crime. You've damaged no person, no property. You've stolen nothing. You have hurt nobody. And
well,
they will order psych evaluations on you.
If that was the case, they would have locked me up a long time ago.
Well, maybe you're lucky.
I've cost them hundreds of thousands of dollars here in Washington. So has Kurt Reagan.
Well, and that's what I said a little bit earlier, Lewis, when I cautioned people, be careful with your tone with this, that,
right.
You know, you can do this in a way. I mean, because you're a pretty big guy, from what I understand. You're kind of intimidating. You're kind of a large kind of a fellow. You're kind of intimidating just by your presence. Now, match that physical presence with a keen mind, and you're really a threat. They realize they can't make you go away, but they'll pick on lesser people that they can bamboozle and just roll right over.
Well, I don't think size has anything to do with it.
Oh, don't bet on it, bud.
I'm 5'8 and a half. I don't think that's very big. And my beard's always gotten bigger than it was, but
you're,
I don't consider myself. I think 5'8 and a half is pretty much an average size guy.
Well, the way Desi described you, you were like a cinder block. But at any rate, Richard, did that answer your question?
I used to be a professional craft fisherman in Alaska. Yeah.
Okay, Richard, go ahead.
He just didn't really answer my question.
Okay, well, I don't think he has an answer for that. Okay, I think we've determined that.
Because there are some corrupt judges. They will just say, I'm going to send you to a psych evaluation just to harass you. I've seen it happen, just like what John just said.
Yeah. All right, Richard.
You don't know what to do?
Yeah, here's a good question. What do you do about it?
Well, if you can prove you're competent and find other attorneys that will sign a statement that you're competent, I'd sue for false arrest.
Boy, you know, we're defending ourselves. You know, I was thinking during the break, Lewis, you know, we are told repeatedly out of all the, how many millions of statutes on the books, you will hear people in authority tell you that ignorance of the law is no excuse. Well, I want the police officers to keep that in mind also, because
I like telling that to judges.
Yeah. Sylvester, thanks for the call, Richard. I appreciate your point. And I don't know, I don't have the quick answer for that. Maybe we can get Ralph Winterroad in on that, and maybe Desi and some other fine minds, and maybe come to answer that question, because that's becoming more and more of a problem. If you're standing up and you're saying all these ridiculous things, well, you must be mentally ill. We will have you psych evaluated.
Let's talk about money next. I'm paying tickets.
Okay, we've got callers holding by, standing by. We'll hold you over onto the break. We'll be right back.
Do you want to plant a garden that just keeps on giving year after year? Then visit the Ark Institute and find out about their all-natural vegetable seeds. Now, these aren't hybrids. They're not genetically engineered. They're the real thing. And you'll grow the best produce you've ever grown. Not only that, you can save seeds from this year's garden and plant them next year. Now, here's the deal. The Ark Institute is offering Republic listeners free shipping on their complete collection of 40 non-hybrid heirloom seeds, plus their best-selling gardening how-to manual, Build Your Ark. A complete family food security package is just $99, and remember, shipping is free. Oh, you'll have enough for canning and freezing and fresh eating and some seeds for next year. Now that is food security. Call the Ark Institute, 1-800-255-1912. That's 1-800-255-1912. Or visit arkinstitute.com. Do it today.
For over 5,000 years, gold has been the only true money in this world. And Republic Broadcasting has found the company you need to protect yourself against financial insecurity.
Ladies and gentlemen, John Stadtmiller here, and yes, I did find the company you need to protect yourself against financial insecurity. With the help of my good friend Robbie Noel, we've started Republic Trading Group, a company dedicated to serving RBN listeners with the best service available.
That's right, John. For the first time, Republic listeners can now buy with confidence. By eliminating the middleman and working with one of the oldest and most respected distributors of numismatic coins in the United States, we can now guarantee that within 24 hours of cleared funds, you will receive a tracking number so you can see exactly when your order arrives. It's that easy. No fuss, no hassle.
For more information, call 1-800-691-7898. 1-800-691-7898.
Want to look good and feel great? Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Well, there are things you can do and natural products available that are strong and safer than harsh synthetics. Rediscover ancient secrets with therapeutic grade A essential oils. The molecular structure of essential oils is highly oxygenating in nature, increasing vitality and energy to the body. Our essential oils and supplements are all natural and absolutely pure to help you discover optimal health, essential nutrition, emotional well-being, and effective weight management. Whether using our products or looking for a home-based business, you'll be glad you contacted us by calling 1-800-993-OILS. Therapeutic-grade essential oils are emerging as the missing link to modern medicine. That's 1-800-993-6457. You can also visit our website at www.naturesoils.org. That's www.naturesoils.org.
I wanted to bring up a specific issue, Lewis.
Yes, I wanted to talk about money. Federal Reserve notes are not money, and how to beat a traffic ticket and not pay the fine and get the judge to discharge the debt and not ask you for any money again. You there?
I'm here. I'm okay. There's a lot of people want to hear this one. Go ahead.
Great. In 1997, I got found guilty of a driving while license suspended charge that I beat later on. And I was in the Seattle King County District Court before the presiding judge at that time, Barbara Lindy. And I'm going to make fun of her voice a little bit here. She'll get this really squeaky voice. Mr. Ewing, I'm finding you guilty of driving while suspended, and I deny your motion for informal papyrus. It's the best I've ever read, and I read your affidavit of indigency. It's also very good, but I'm going to deny that motion and fine you $1,000. And do you have anything to say before I pass final judgment? And I go, well, yeah, Your Honor, I'm looking at my ticket here, and it says RCW 46.20.342, driving while suspended. I just want to hear you say it for the record. I want your judicial determination. Does the revised code of Washington apply in your courtroom? And she gave me a crazy look like, what is he up to now? And she goes, of course it does. And I go, well, Your Honor, I'm going to call your attention to RCW 84.04.060, the definition of money in 1961. It says money or monies shall be held to mean gold and silver coin, gold and silver certificates, treasury notes, United States notes, and bank notes. Your Honor, do you have an oath of office to uphold the state and federal constitutions? Yes, Mr. Ewing, I told you several times I got an oath. And I go, Your Honor, Article 1, Section 2 of the state constitution says the federal constitution is the supreme law of the land. Sections 29 and 30 says the constitutions, state and federal, are mandatory. And Article 1, Section 10, as quoted in Dennis versus Moses' 1898 decision for Washington, says, citing Article 1, Section 10 of the federal constitution, as cited in Woodruff versus Mississippi, the lead case in the legal tender gold and silver clause cases, says no state shall make anything but gold and silver a tender of payment. Miss Lindy, do you represent the state of Washington?
Yes, Mr. Ewing.
Well, now, Your Honor, now I'm going to call your attention to our state's version of the Uniform Commercial Code, RCW 62A3-603, subsections A and B. Subsection A says if I tender you payment, and subsection B says if you dishonor my tender payment, that you have discharged the $1,000 traffic ticket that you want to fine me.
Mr. Ewing, I'm tired of your nonsense. What is your tender payment?
Your Honor, if you sign my contract, this one-page document acknowledging that you're committing perjury of your oath of office, misfeasance, malfeasance, and plead no contest to official misconduct, I agree to pay you the Federal Reserve notes, which by Title 18, Section 8, are defined to be obligations of the United States, and by Title 31, United States Code, Section 3124, obligations of the United States are not taxable by the state, and it's illegal for you to collect this money in violation of Title 12. It's a felony if you're not registered with the Attorney General of the United States. I agree to pay you the money.
But, Jimmy, let me see that tender payment. Let me see your contract.
Well, Your Honor, can I throw it to Benjamin and give it to you?
Yes, you may.
So I walk up and I hand her my contract, and her eyeballs got so big I thought they were going to fall out of her head. Then she goes, Mr. Ewing, I'm not going to sign your contract, and I'm not going to fine you anything either. A few people in the courtroom snickered. But what was funny was the guy behind me. Your Honor, what he said, I don't got no money either. And she slammed her gavel and dismissed those three guys' tickets behind me, and she ran out of the courtroom, and nobody had to pay a traffic ticket that was in court with me.
That is a rare occurrence. I've only heard of that ever happening one other time.
Okay, I've done it with toilet paper and Monopoly money. You can also ask the judge, Your Honor, can I pay this ticket with an IOU on the toilet paper or Monopoly money or any other obligation? Well, no, you can't pay a debt with an obligation. Let the record reflect the judge says I cannot pay a debt with an obligation. Your Honor, let the record also reflect that you said I can't pay this debt with a Federal Reserve note. This thing here in my wallet and I wave a dollar bill. Well, that's not what I said. Excuse me, Your Honor. Title 18, Section 8 defines a Federal Reserve note as being an obligation of the United States. And when I looked it up in the dictionary, an obligation means evidence of debt or credit issued. And, Your Honor, Title 31, United States Code, Section 3124, says obligations of the United States are exempt from taxation by the state. And they're screwed. They're totally stuck on that.
And I could just hear, Mr. Ewing, I'm going to remand you to the custody of this officer. I want you to have a psychological evaluation. She stopped short of that one. Let's go back to the phones.
If you're generally polite in court, You wait your turn to talk. You don't raise your voice and shout and scream or cuss at the judges. And you are preparing and presenting competent briefings and making competent arguments based on your state statutes, your state case law. You basically, I show them the mirror. I use their stuff against them and show them how they've misapplied the statutes as applied to me or show how the statute's unconstitutional.
Well, and you know, I have seen a few judges that actually enjoy this because traffic court is real boring. I mean, if they have somebody that's competent that can speak for themselves and offer a logical argument in a court, a lot of judges will allow this because they're just bored.
Yes, absolutely.
Most people just come in. They've got the shackled people that they arrested the night before in the jumpsuits, and they're all chained together. Those guys always goes last in court. You always see them meandering around in the hallway. The courtrooms are always full, and it's just... just same thing over and over and over again. And I've actually seen with my own eyes judges that enjoy engaging in that court setting. We'll take the break. Sylvester, Sam, Courtney, Gabe, all of you folks, Fred, we'll get to you also. Get to all of your phone calls on this edition of the National Intel Report. My guest today, a very well-informed Lewis Ewing. We'll be right back.
You're listening. listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Many healthcare professionals know that the causes of our not having youthful energy, as well as many of our illnesses, can ultimately be traced to a lack of cellular oxygen and natural plant mineral nutrients. Unless we take plenty of oxygen and minerals on a daily basis, none of our maintenance, repair, or immune processes will function properly. And without plenty of oxygen and minerals, our vitamins won't work either. But through taking Oxymune oxygen drops and OxyEarth plant mineral capsules with MSN, daily, we help our bodies replace our most vital nutrients. Our bodies use these nutrients to create extra energy, properly digest food, and eliminate waste. Mr. Oxygen, Ed McCabe's new book, Flood Your Body with Oxygen, is also available now. Go to OxygenAmerica.com for more information or call 305-933-4219. That's 305-933-4219. Get your oxygen today and feel good.
At 11:40 p.m. on April 14, 1912, while plowing recklessly through an ice field, the HMS Titanic collided with an iceberg. 2 hours later, she was resting on the bottom. Today, you are in a similar ship, the USS America. She, too, is plowing through history, promoting reckless fiscal and monetary policies amid tides of terrorism that threaten our security. And there is a storm brewing as if even nature was against us. Like the Titanic, we are on a course with a similar destiny. What are you going to do? Hop aboard a well-provisioned lifeboat with Ready Reserve Foods. Contact Ready Reserve Foods and ask how you can prepare your family with the basic survival needs. Call 1-800-453-2202 for great-tasting dehydrated foods that require no refrigeration and keep preserved for years. Call 1-800-453-2202 and stock your lifeboat.
Looking for a quality shortwave radio without spending hundreds of dollars? The Sanjian 505P shortwave radio is the answer. Featuring continuous tuning for all shortwave frequencies utilizing direct keypad tuning. Dual conversion improves shortwave image for better shortwave reception. Single sideband allows for reception of upper and lower sideband signals. Other features include 45 station memory, auto preset system, auto memory scan, tone controls, dual time display, and adjustable sleep timers. Included accessories, the AMT-60 portable shortwave antenna, AC adapter, stereo earbuds, and a soft-sided carrying case. Also, a one-year full factory warranty on parts and labor. All this for only $139. Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Call today.
Tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
Let's roll the phone calls. Let's start in South Carolina with Sylvester. Hello, Sylvester. How you doing?
Hello, you there?
We're here.
Your phone dropped down real low.
Well, that's because the lines are loaded right now. We're splitting voltages.
All right.
We can hear you fine.
All right. Look, I call in mainly, you know, to see South Carolina is probably like every other state. They're just out for revenue. They took, you know, the persuasion from the government to drop the law, DUI rating, the 8%.
Right.
And now the Congress has already passed a fine for the mandatory seat belts.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying their justification on that's twofold. One is it should lower your insurance ratings on your cars. And the other one, you know, is potato life. In other words, when they pass that,
right,
that's another reason, you know, that law can stop you.
Well, and a lot of people don't realize with these drunk driving laws that the real issue behind this is no tolerance. You're going to see in the future these, because it was always kind of a mystery. You know, if you blow 0.10 in many states at the time, you were considered legally drunk. If you blew anything below that, well, then you weren't drunk, but you were just impaired. but you still faced fines and penalties from the courts. But what a lot of people didn't understand, especially with Mothers Against Drunk Driving, so on and so forth, this zero tolerance policy, eventually, if you blow anything, and I don't care if it's 0.01 or 0.5 or whatever it is, that you're going to be considered drunk and you will go to jail. There is a zero tolerance policy pushing this whole thing. And a lot of people don't believe that, but I'm watching the numbers drop right before my very eyes.
I believe it. You know, like I say, everything they come up with is revenue generating.
Well, and the states are so broke, and, well, the tax revenues are dropping because more and more people don't have jobs, and the cost of living is going up, inflation, and on it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they will extract every drop of blood out of whatever turnip they find.
Well, that was just mainly a comment. I'm going to tell you, after that last article, what he was explaining, I shouldn't even call in with my comment after hearing that.
Well, Sylvester, thank you for your call, sir.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. Sam in West Virginia. Hello, Sam.
Hey, to add a little bit more to that drunk driving thing there, the main reason why they're lowering the limit is because everybody's staying below the limit, so they can't arrest anybody in revenue from it.
Well, that's a good point. I wasn't aware of that.
I mean, think of it that way. They're getting fewer drunk drivers. So if they lower the limit, well, then they make more people criminals, and they can arrest them. Or in West Virginia, if you can get out of any drunk driving, as long as there's no injury or an accident, as long as you pay about $3,000 fine. And I know people, doctors, that they do this on a regular basis. But that was the reason I called.
All right. Yeah, I that sounds logical to me. There are, and I've always said, the drunk driving laws, and the argument that was given in support of their argument of this 0.10 as being the legal limit, and it didn't matter if you weighed 500 pounds or you were a 90-pound weakling soaking wet. You know, they drew this thing up and said, well, this is fair, this is not arbitrary, this is across the board, and that's our limit. I have seen people drink 6, 10, 12 beers and appear to be sober as a judge, so to speak. And they can do anything. They can play cards. They can drive cars. They can do whatever they want to do. And you never know that that person's affected by alcohol because maybe it doesn't affect that person the same way it affects another one. But here's the point. And I'm not advocating, and I've said this before, to down a bottle of Four Roses whiskey and drive through your neighborhood at 90 miles an hour sideways. If you do not harm anybody, if you cause no bodily injury, loss of life, property damage, then where is the claim of the state? Now, this is all for our safety. And I'm not advocating people get high on drugs or get drunk and go out and drive. I'm not saying that. We have to take a personal responsibility because it does impair you or your judgment to a point. But the point is, at what point does it impair it? And is it fair to give this blanket to everybody? Now, going back, Lewis, to the common law principle, if you do no harm, where's the claim?
Well, they have passed statutes against drunk driving, and they've done that through the Administrative Procedures Act and the Open Public Meeting Act. And by your phony state constitutions, all the local cities and counties have been authorized by the legislature to enact their own local ordinances under the guise of public safety. So if a cop does see you weaving and driving across the road, hey, you know what? I want that cop to pull you over because you might run over my family that's driving on the same road.
Yes, but at what point, what do we do with them then? Do we haul them off to jail?
Well, you know, in the old days, the cops used to take the drunk driver and throw him in a clink overnight and let him sleep it off, or they'd give him a ride home and drop them off.
Well, and I guess this
that's
is...
That's not cost-effective anymore, so...
I've got to be honest. When I was a kid,
yeah, the judges and the prosecutors and the attorneys need to make their Mercedes payment. So
when I was a kid, I got pulled over and I had too much to drink, and the cop looked at me and he said, "I ran your record." He said, "You don't have any drunk driving convictions or anything." He said, "Can you go home?" He said, "If I follow you, can you make it home?" And I said, "Yes, I can." And he did, and that was it.
That's what they should do. But they're not making any money that way, so that's not what they do anymore.
Because what is a person's response to this? And I'm big into the psychological ramifications of everything. If you've got somebody in a uniform that is supposed to be there to serve and protect and not being looked upon as being an adversary, are you going to get more cooperation from the public or are they going to do more of what they have just done? That's always been my question. If we want to feel a part of things, if we want to feel a part of our community or whatever the case may be, then we take more responsibility, period. And then that covers a lot of areas. I don't want to get drunk and go out and run one of your kids over, nor do I want you to do the same to mine. So it's exactly a matter of responsibility.
Yes.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Hold on a minute.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Well, you guys are getting into discussion. I want to interrupt you. But also, I'll get to my main question here. But also, here, they do road checks for drunk driving.
You're right.
And they do, I mean, every weekend they do them here.
Mm-hmm.
And they may get one or two drunk drivers, but they pass out tons of tickets for dead stickers, for burnout headlights or taillights,
sure,
for dead registration. It's all money generation is all that is.
Well, and it is. And we just had a recent Supreme Court ruling on this, didn't we, Lewis?
I'm not familiar with that one. Now, are they stopping everybody?
Oh, yeah. They have actually the roads are blocked, and everybody going through has to be checked.
Right.
And they check your registration and your insurance also while you're doing this.
Yeah,
so,
that got established about 20 years ago in Washington. They didn't do it until this year. The ACLU filed a lawsuit against a case here in Seattle regarding drunk sobriety checkpoints. And they ruled it was unconstitutional to do random checks. Random checks are illegal. Well, the ACLU had an ulterior motive to fighting that case to get that ruling, because the opposite of the ruling meant it was constitutional to stop 100% of everybody.
Yeah, that's what they do here.
If they stop 100% of everybody on the road, constitutionally, that's legal.
Whoa, stop. Hold on here. By what convoluted argument do we arrive at that? Because what you're basically saying is we can't arbitrarily just pull this person that person over. We're going to do it to everybody. So
that way nobody can claim discrimination.
Oh, well, I don't care about the discrimination. What I'm being told by that action is I'm guilty of something until I prove myself innocent to these people. I'm assumed to be doing something that they don't want me to do, so therefore they're going to run us all through a cattle chute just to make sure that we're all behaving. That's not law to me.
Yeah, the argument to make is they're actually what they're doing that's illegal and it wasn't confronted in that case is they're making a search without a warrant,
right?
Based on no probable cause. That's illegal, and I've actually done briefings and have beaten cases on that. And see, the courts have limited jurisdiction. They only have the jurisdiction conferred by a statute. There has to be a statute saying they can do that, because if there's not, you could file a motion to dismiss for lack of statutory authority to run the road check. So is there a statute in your state that says they can run this road check?
I couldn't tell you, to be honest.
You might want to look it up, Sam.
But they've
adopted a federal standard on road checks. If you read the footprints on road checks and the federal standards, it says they have to have a place within 1,000 feet of where they stop you that allows you to turn around and not go through the check.
Oh, no, if you turn around, boy, they run you down.
That is true. And I've seen this happen. They do it a lot on less traveled rural roads. What they'll do is they'll put up a checkpoint ahead sign, and they'll nab the people that jump off in the first available road.
Yep, that's what they do.
Yep.
What you need to do then is pull the federal standards. The footnote says that they have to give you a turnaround place, and if you turn around, they can't pull you over.
Okay. Now we get on the other subject, my main point. You mentioned earlier that all the real constitutions are put away.
Yes.
Okay. West Virginia was not created actually was created during the Civil War. What is our situation? Because we're not going to have
every single state original constitutions have been suspended and placed into the archives division of your Secretary of State's office, and they are no longer currently in use.
Right, but what I'm asking you is maybe I'm confused here. Was West Virginia basically created to begin with as a corporate fiction, just like the rest of the states are now?
Well, then the Constitution wouldn't matter if it was positive or not.
It was probably a territory under territorial law.
Right. Well, yeah, it was
at
created.
At the times of the territories, we still had judicial districts. We had electors, people that were landowners. It's a complete difference than a registered voter. There actually has been no laws passed anywhere in the United States since the late 1800s. Everything that's in every single state, it'll tell you in the first chapter, rules of construction, like the RCW is only prima facie evidence of the law. None of that. What you believe to be law is not law. Seatbelt law, DUI law. If you go down right now to your Secretary of State's office in any state and say, I want a certified copy of the seatbelt law, the Secretary of State will say, oh, well, we keep all enrolled session laws down at the Archives Division. And you go down there, and they will not certify the current seatbelt law that's in your current statute. Okay? But if you ask for copies of your territorial code, like here in Washington, if I want a certified copy of the rape statute, robbery, murder statute, the Archives Division of the Secretary of State will give me a copy of an enrolled law, and it'll say, be it enacted by the legislature, we declare rape, robbery, murder, whatever, to be a violation of the criminal law of this territory of Washington. They will not give you that for Washington for a seatbelt law, okay, because the legislature has never enacted the revised code of Washington. Okay, there's a case here in Washington that's called Perosa versus Tacoma, and it basically says no. If I can get on this quote here, I'll find it here in a second. Perosa versus Tacoma, it says here, but the legislature specifically disclaimed any intention to change the meaning of any statute. The compilers of the code were not empowered by Congress to amend existing law and doubtless had no thought of doing so. The act before us does not purport to amend a section of an act, but only a section of a compilation entitled Revised Code of Washington, which is not the law. Such an act purporting to amend only a section of the prima facie compilation leaves the law unchanged. Perosa versus Tacoma, 57 Washington 2nd, page 409, December 22nd, 1960. Well, there are no laws in any of the states today. The constitutions have been made statutes. They're a general statute. They're superseded by the specific statute, DUI, seatbelt, whatever. And so when you file a motion in court based on what you believe to be your constitution, and the judge says, I deny your motion based on the constitution, you've been charged with drunk driving, and the court rule says I only have to take judicial notice of the statute that's before me, and this is what you're charged with, DUI.
Right.
And the patriots are all screaming, the judge is violating his oath, he's denying the Constitution. Well, you cited the wrong Constitution. That Constitution is not the real Constitution of your state. It's a mere statute, general law, a general statute, which is now superseded by a specific statute. And now all the current statutes are now superseded by court rule, which is promulgated by the Supreme Court in every single state. What they've done is they've set the law aside and they replaced it with what everybody is now calling public policy. The judges are they've created a literal Alice in Wonderland fantasy. The law is literally the words that are coming out of their
Sam,
mouth.
Sam, I'm going to ask you to be brief because we've got callers
okay,
holding.
Yeah, but that's not really my question is, West Virginia, because we were created during the Civil War.
I don't think we have an answer for that.
Okay, because my thing is, did it even have an original constitution? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Go to your archives of the Secretary of State's office and look.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Hey, thank you, John.
All right, thanks, Sam. I appreciate your call. Courtney in Alabama. Hello, Courtney.
Hi, John. How are you?
Good.
Please have this fellow back on. This is a great show.
Well, it's going to have to be after 2 weeks because I'm taking a hiatus. Robbie Newell is sitting in for me for the next 2 weeks.
I understand. Just a couple of brief, couple of comments from him, please, on driving with an international driver's permit in lieu of no registration in your name with supposedly appearing to be a borrowed vehicle, proposing as what's called a perpetual traveler.
Do you know anything about that, Lewis?
Are you saying you have no registration on your car?
Yeah, there's registration on my car, but it's not in my name. And they can't place me as a resident.
Okay. Now, as long as you're not committing any violations of the current traffic codes in your state, in the officer's presence, like you're not driving 50 miles an hour through a children's school zone, he has no probable cause to pull you over. Now,
right.
If the owner of the car is driving while suspended, and and cops do this all the time, keep an eye out. They have a mobile data terminal in their car,
yes.
A little typewriter. And they're typing in license plates. Okay, there is no quota. A lot of patriots think the cops have a quota. No, the sky is the limit. They're supposed to write as many tickets as they can. So they're driving down the road typing in license plates, as many as they can by the hour. It comes up, aha. They mic into the Department of Licensing database, and they find out the name of the registered owner. Then they mic out of that database, and then they mic into a separate database, the criminal information system. They find out, aha, the owner of this car, a lady, has a warrant for her arrest. They pull you over and they discover, oh, well, you're not a lady, you're a man. The stop is supposed to cease right there because the reason for the investigative stop has already dissipated because he knew that you were a man. And obviously, you're not the woman who was driving while suspended. So if he consequently started asking you for your driver's license and you weren't speeding, didn't run a red light, he had no probable cause for the stop.
But the first question, the first question that comes out of people's mouth is, officer, why are you pulling me over? He will not answer any of your questions. Driver's license, registration, proof of insurance, please.
Right. This is why I've created a flyer. I call it "You Arrest Me or Am I Free to Go" flyer. It's the first thing you hand to a cop, and you say to a cop, "Officer, am I under arrest or am I free to leave?"
Mm-hmm.
They'll tell you you're being detained. My flyer shows the dictionary definition of detained. It uses the word arrest to define it. So if you're detained, you are under arrest. If you're not free to leave, you're under arrest. The second flyer you hand them, you send me an email to my email address, rcwcodebuster@yahoo.com or rcwcodebuster@comcast.net. The second flyer you give them is my Miranda flyer. You immediately invoke your Fifth Amendment right to remain silent and also invoke your state constitution. Here in Washington, Article 1, Section 9 says I have the right to refuse to give evidence that can be used against me in a court of law.
I understand that, and then they're going to just thug me and take me to jail, and I'm not...
Well, anything they do after that would have to be suppressed. If they conducted a search without a warrant, okay, and if what you... See, they can't search incident to what's supposed to be a non-custodial arrest.
I understand.
Okay, and not giving your name cannot be the basis of a lawful arrest.
Okay. But this is all assuming that you're ready to go in and plead your case before a judge. And it reminds me of the words Lewis, I can't remember his last name, the fellow who wrote Adventures in Legaland this morning on Derry's show, said you have to question the spirituality and the psychological nature of these people who will judge you and hide behind these so-called laws and not accept any responsibility or any personal, take any personal responsibility for anything they're doing day on a day in, day out.
I'm told all the time that I've got to take personal responsibility. They must also. They're not above the law.
I understand that, John, but none of them do.
I know that.
And would you please, sir, talk more about the Terry stop, if you could, please?
Okay, we've got, I don't know if we're going to be able to handle that. We've got callers. We've got to clean up. Courtney, maybe we can do that on another day.
Thanks, John.
I appreciate it very much. Thanks for your call. Gabe in Texas. Hello, Gabe.
Hey there, John. First-time caller. I call into the other shows. And I find this discussion today very amusing to me because, you know, I'm all with you guys as far as the state, and I don't think we need a nanny state and all this.
Right.
But at the same time, I recognize these guys have the guns. You might be able to quote Section C, whatever. But if you're out there in the middle of the highway, in the middle of the night with this cop, his interpretation of the law is automatic because he's got the guns and the handcuffs and the color of the law.
Well, I mean, what's the worst he's going to do to you? Is he going to shoot you because you're putting up some guff, or is he just going to put the bracelets on you and take you to jail? You're still alive. You still have the ability to fight this.
Well, you put up an attitude and then you search
your car. No. Hold on now. Gabe, just hold on. There is a way that you can talk to people without appearing to be belligerent. You can do this in a friendly, non-offensive manner with the edge off of your voice.
What are you, some kind of lawyer?
What?
What are you, some kind of lawyer? And they get tough with me and they poke at me. I've been harassed by cops many times, and I realize I choose my battles, and I realize the color of law, and they're the one with the gun and the badge.
Yeah, but
and
okay, but
right.
Gabe, pull them down. I want you to slow down, first of all. You got a bad phone connection, Gabe. I'm going to go through this slowly and succinctly because I can already tell by the sound in your voice of what you're going to do when you get pulled over by these police officers. Look, you've got to understand that a lot of these cops have never heard this kind of language before. They don't know. They know this. They show up for their formation in the morning. They're briefed for their daily activities. They're given a paycheck, they've got the public policy, they've got their boss, and that's what they know. When you start talking to these cops about what we're discussing here today, you do it with a smile on your face and a non-combative attitude, with that edge out of your voice, sir, with that edge out of your voice. Joe in Texas, you're up next. Hello, Joe. Go ahead, yeah. You're on the air.
Yeah, I'm kind of tuning into the show late, but I had a... I guess a question about the seatbelt law. I guess that's not legal at all, or based on what I'm hearing. I mean, how would you beat something like that?
Okay, the so-called every single state adopted the so-called Federal Motor Vehicle Safety Standards, which is located in the CFRs, Code of Federal Regulations. It happens to be CFR 571.208. I would go to the law library, photocopy that entire chapter, submit it for the record, Exhibit A, as ER 103, subsection 2. That's the offer of proof rule. Make an offer of proof to the court, Your Honor. State adopted the federal seatbelt law. Here's a copy of the entire federal motor vehicle safety.
Lewis, your phone, are you on a cell?
Yes, I am.
Okay, you need to move back in an area to get more bars because we're starting to lose you.
Okay. I moved it just now.
Okay, I can't tell unless you talk.
Yeah.
There you go.
I hear you just fine.
Okay, go ahead.
The federal motor vehicle safety standard is CFR 571.208. And photocopy that whole chapter, submit it for the record as an offer of proof. Exhibit A, evidence rule, ER 103, subsection 2, offer of proof number 1 for the court record that the so-called Federal Motor Vehicle Safety Standard seatbelt requirement only applies to commercial vehicles and to the manufacturers of the commercial vehicle. It does not apply to your passenger car.
Okay.
And nowhere in there does it say it does. And they're fooling people with that right now.
All right, Joe, anything else?
Is it a crazy strategy to, like, when you get the policeman on the stand, to ask him to try to place you there and then disprove him by saying he can't, kind of like a Mark Stevens thing where he can't physically put you in Texas because Texas doesn't exist? Would that be a crazy argument to use? Or
you know, I haven't seen, you know, I've heard the guy talk. It all sounds good, but I'll tell you right now, I know that wouldn't fly in Washington courts. If you say, who do you represent? The judge will say the state of Washington. He'll say, and when you start trying to ask more questions, he'll say, look, I'm the judge here. You're the defendant. You're been charged with DUI or driving while suspended. Well, who does the prosecutor represent? The prosecutor says, I represent the state of Washington. Okay?
Well, this is what
And then you try to continue with that line of questioning. The judge will say, look, I don't have to give you legal advice. I suggest you go hire an attorney.
Right.
We're going to proceed and charge you with the driving while suspended charge or the DUI charge. You know, the judge doesn't care what Lewis Jennings' opinion is or Mark Stevens' opinion is or, you know, even John Stepmiller's opinion is. The only thing the judge cares about is the statute you've been charged with and what the case law in a higher court in the same state or a federal circuit case or U.S. Supreme Court decision says regarding that particular issue. Believe me, when you're in court, you're like in the star chamber. You're in the twilight zone. I can go before a judge and argue why he has to dismiss my driving while suspended case, and he'll dismiss it. But there'll be 10 other guys, and after I fully inform the judge of what the law says and the statute says and the court rule says, and he dismisses it, there'll be 10 guys in the courtroom behind me that fall under the exact same set of conditions. If they did not make that argument, the judge is going to find them guilty, throw them in jail for 90 days, take a $1,000 fine on them. You know, they take jurisdiction and the premises. That means they hear each case on a case-by-case basis. There's no remedy in our courts. If there was, if I just explained the law to the judge would say, everybody in the courtroom that the license has expired or has never had a license, your charges are all dismissed. Well, no, that's not happening. This is why they called attorneys at law.
Joan, I got to let you go. Thanks for your call, my friend. I appreciate it. All right. Sorry that we're flat out of time here, folks. The emails for my guest today, Lewis Ewing, rcwcodebuster@comcast.net or rcwcodebuster@yahoo.com. And Lewis, you and I will be talking again.
Thank you.
I appreciate your time, sir. Thanks very much. All right, folks, that'll do it for us today. I will see you in 2 weeks. That's right, 2 weeks. Robbie Noel will be sitting in for me for the next 2 weeks. He'll be here with you Monday. He'll be subbing on the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stattmiller. Everybody behave themselves until I get back. We'll see you in 2 weeks. God bless.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making using bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.